Self-care. It's such a deep, layered word, and for me, it's really become the process of getting to know yourself, showing up for yourself over and over again. In creation of the Self-Care Creature podcast, I want to teach you, too, how to have a relationship with yourself. We're going to dive into the psychological and physiological unfoldings of adopting what I love to call a self-care lifestyle. This podcast is here to help you, the stressed out but spiritually minded individual who can feel that wild calling in your heart, who wants to develop self-care rituals to support your daily living, give you the confidence and know-how to live through your intuition and raise your self-worth. You deserve it. You are capable of this. And I want to help you understand how the hell to get there, what it actually means, and how do you actually live it. That's where my intention is with this podcast. The Self-Care Creature Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Courtney Klopp. Let's dive in. As dear personal friends and the co-founders of Self-Care is for Everyone, I know that we share a lot of similar values and challenges within our own self-care lifestyles, and I wanted to take some time to speak with you a little deeper about our own journeys and just to help other people listening. Yeah.
Thanks so much for having us, Court. Seriously. I mean, this is obviously extra special for us, and I think we told you on the phone, like, for me, it's always humbling to be invited to be on a podcast. Like, I feel like, I'm sure you've experienced that, where it's like, oh, that's cool. It's, you know, it's a different type of catch up. And then obviously with someone that we get to call a friend who, you know, like you said, we share values. I met you at the Ithaca Zen Center. I guess you did
we
as
also
well.
Met,
right?
Yeah. Just a few years before you.
Right. But still such a great one.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it was like, was it 8 years ago now, Sasha, that I think that was my first time there, and that's when I met you.
Yeah, that's crazy. Time flies. Although I feel like I've known you forever.
But I know. Right. That's wild. And then you guys started dating five years ago? 2018.
Yeah.
Well, for those that don't know, Sasha and AJ, or as I know you, Alan, is it okay to go by both?
Either one, yeah.
Okay, great. You're the two co-founders of Self Care is for Everyone, which is an online mental health advocacy collective and e-commerce storefront. You two are a husband and wife team who started your business 6 months into dating back in 2018, which is really impressive. And Sasha has a background in counseling with a master's degree from Westchester University. And AJ is an e-commerce entrepreneur with 10 years of experience of building online communities and businesses. They're on a mission to normalize mental health conversations and spread self-care reminders and kindness. Yeah, beautiful.
No big deal.
NBD. I remember when you first started your brand, and Sasha, you had messaged me on Instagram through that account, and you were like, it's Sasha, and you had like 60,000 followers at the time, I think, and I was like, what?
So fun. I was like, let me hit Courtney up.
I mean, I think one of the things we share in common is like that word self-care and the reframing of it from like, I think where everyone, it's a word that everyone has a different relationship with it based on how they've heard it. It's also a kind of like newer term in popularity, obviously has roots in like nursing and other areas like social work fields and whatnot. So yeah, I think really tying it to that holistic and kind of mental health perspective, spiritual health, just like whole body.
Do you have a specific kind of definition that you lean into at all, or what does it mean to you specifically?
For me, I would say self-care is being kind to yourself so that you can be kind to others. You gotta have that second part so that you can be kind to others, because I think a lot of times self-care is very much about how can I be my best self, which is super important, but it's so that you can serve others in return. So I think having both for me.
I mean, I would say same, like the thing that comes up to mind is always kind of like the airplane analogy of you got to put your own mask on first. And similar, like self-care, self-care isn't selfish because what we're doing is refilling our own cup so that we can show up and be our best selves in different settings and be of service to our communities and all that. And it really is kind of like the internal maintenance and the inner work.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Full on. Yes. Yeah, I want to dive into that a little bit more because I know that self-care is often portrayed as this individual pursuit, but you're both speaking to the community care and like the social connection that plays a vital role in our well-being. And I'm wondering, how do you incorporate that social and communal elements into your personal practices and your brand, if you'd like to add in that?
Sure.
I mean, I would say intimately, one of my... Yeah, my daily self-care is my relationship with Sasha, and like we're able to kind of wear so many hats together because of the energy and the preservation that this relationship gives to both of us. So I feel like, yeah, a healthy relationship in which we're both always kind of like refilling each other's cups or checking in on one another throughout the day. And like, because we also are very like complementary strengths, like it kind of has fallen into place or evolved. Like now when in a work setting, it's very similar of like, I have strengths in like organizing the house that complement Sasha's and we can kind of like trade, and same with business. Like, you know, I can be deep in a spreadsheet and she's great at like really just overseeing such a large community, you know, and showing up to it in the digital space every day, where it's like, I don't know if I have that energy, that stamina as much anymore. Yeah. And she, you know, she makes it look easy. So,
so charming.
It's fun to see also the reaction on your face during a couple of those things, Sasha, because it's, I can tell that you're like so grateful, like, yes, like you take care of that. Like, I have no idea about like that side, or I have no interest in that, and vice versa. Like, knowing strengths and weaknesses in general in life is so important, but in a relationship and as far as, yeah, that self-care support, I think it's so vital.
Absolutely. And just going off of what AJ was saying in the community aspect, like just knowing that you can't do this on your own, like we can't do this self-care is for everyone work on our own. The reason why people, you know, heard about our brand is because someone else wore that sweatshirt, or we really do rely so much on community and reaching out to people who are in this space saying, hey, can you amplify that it's Mental Health Awareness Month? And like, then that's how we get the word out that we're talking about mental health this month even louder. So I think for us, the community aspect is, yes, internally for sure, we lean on one another so much for a lot of the like refilling of the cup and community care in that space. But even beyond the two of us, we lean so much on those who we connect with online to help spread this message further and deeper and wider. So I think a lot of it.
And I mean, just to jump off of that, it's also when we're talking about self-care and mental health all the time. So in essence, we're talking about healing and self-preservation and along with self-care. And, you know, what comes to mind is the idea that like healing can only happen in community. Like healing can happen. It's not a solitary pursuit. So, I mean, we obviously, as part of our brand, we talk about the importance of therapy. I think played a big role in each of our lives, and also just in general, like life gets messy, and you know, when heavy things get dropped into someone's lap, it's not just that person who's going through it, their whole community gets pulled into it, and like we all share the burden of like heavy news when that approaches someone that we know and love.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's the importance of community too, is like being able to pull those strings for each other, like making a meal for someone, or, you know, even as simple as sending a card, but yeah, just all the little ways that people show up for each other. And I feel like, and it's absolutely okay if you have a different perspective, but I do feel like that's kind of dissipating, maybe is the right word, like in our society, like we just don't see as much of that anymore. People, it's like so much individualism at play. And I'm wondering, like, do you see, like, how do you see the intersection of personal and collective well-being evolving over time?
a strong thought comes to mind hearing that, because it's like, I don't know if people are becoming like, if it's dissipating because people don't want to, as much as it is like, it's getting so much harder for everyone to survive, and everyone's constantly in this like elevated nervous system. Like, I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm just trying to pay bills. Like, so it's not so much like that people wouldn't want to. And I think it kind of falls back on us, where it's like, we live in the greatest time to be alive technologically, as far as just the abilities of these things, where it's like, it just takes a bit of like creativity and ingenuity to be like, how can we do it in a 2023 way, maybe? Like, I don't know. I think that's where it's like, even with self-care is for everyone, our business is very much like, how can we bring these messages? Like, how can we like, and spread them in a way where it's like, now it's on clothing that people are wearing that can lead to a conversation at a dinner table. But I just think at like the feedback that we feel and like hear, I feel like through being in the space and through these communities, is just like, it's really tough out there, and people really appreciate something as simple as a DM, or like, we lean more on like voice memos to do that human touch. And I think people are surprised by that, or it's a bit more unexpected. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to take up all the space. But yeah, like,
I just think it's definitely earlier what AJ was saying about like just surviving. I feel like there's so much pressure on all of us, and even just this generation of like there's memes about like buying a house as a millennial. Like, it's no longer really accessible to. It just feels, everything feels like there's so much more weight on our shoulders, and just surviving is sometimes people's MO. It's like, I just need to get by today. So it just makes everything a lot harder.
Yeah. I love that you're recognizing that and bringing that in. And I really do see that also in the accessibility within your brand. I love the way that there's just so many different outlets. It's like, cool, if you want to buy a sweatshirt, that's awesome. We also have like these templates and worksheets you can do. You can also just share everything for free on social media. And that's what I'm always telling my community and my like classes or workshops too, that is the best part of technology, is like, we have the ability to connect in ways that we never had before. And of course, like, you have to be careful because the apps are also designed to draw you in and all of these other things. But above all, there's just an opportunity for true connection there, like, especially like you're saying, the voice notes, like, that's a beautiful way to genuinely touch in with someone. That's very unique, because I don't think, a lot of, even I send voice notes occasionally, and I still hear people saying, nobody ever does that. or people sometimes will say, oh, I like, thank you for the voice note, but like, I'm too shy to send one back. And so little things like that.
Well, that's where I think some things get lost, where like, we're so behind screens and people get so comfortable just, you know, moving their thumbs. There's like a lot of connection that gets lost in between all of that.
The emotions of our thumbs.
Evolved. I don't want to blame it on the pandemic, but like, I do feel like a lot of people are experiencing like social anxiety.
Oh,
pandemic. And just like, even when I'm like going to meet with friends who I love dearly and have so much comfort because I know they're not judging me, still get so anxious thinking about like, did I say something weird? Like, my mind goes running. And so I think it might be also connected to the pandemic happening, and all of us are just behind screens and Zooms.
Yeah, absolutely. I can personally deeply relate to the social anxiety and the anxiety of being in the world. It's interesting the way that it's like built up internally. And then I have to remember, I am a social person. I like being out. Like, this is okay. Like, talking myself through it, checking the facts. Like,
totally.
Yeah. And I do want to circle back on what you had said, Alan, about the healing and community, because that's something that I feel so passionate about. And I just love reminding people too, because the work that we do individually, healing and whatever capacity, really can only go so far. It's in community and in relationship that it's put to the test. And I think that's also why we connected so much, or and feel such a special place for the Ithaca Zen Center, because it's like living that, like an opportunity to live that in a community environment.
Right. I mean, shout out David and Marcia.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, truly, I think it represents for the three of us a space where, like, peaceful living, where healing is at the forefront, it is possible. Like, obviously, yeah. Like, I don't know. Healing looks different in every season of our lives and based on, like, our means and things like that, where it's like, that space is, did, so you know, special. It was beautiful and special to get to know it through Sasha, who her and her family had been going for years. And it's just right. Like, everyone there is just so kind, and like, it's a loving energy, and the space itself is so gorgeous.
The best.
Yeah.
Like Courtney and Haley.
Right. I mean, I had the all-star crew. Right.
Okay. I have another question that I'm curious about. This is more about like the pivotal moments piece of your own lives, but we know that self-care journeys, of course, involve setbacks and moments of doubt. And I'm wondering if you'd be open to sharing like a vulnerable or challenging or transformative memory or moment that you can think of in your life that like kind of was like a light bulb moment for you or turned you more towards your self-care journey or anything. Does anything come to mind?
I mean, for me, honestly, it feels like right now is one of those moments, like in our lives and in our business, and just like this year, it feels like we're kind of living the pivot chapter right now, where it's like we have a lot of excitement on the horizon, both like in our personal lives and like through the business, like new projects and new opportunities that we'd never gotten to do before. Mm-hmm. And all at the same time, the dichotomy of like, there's just been like, it's been a really tough year for the business from a just like economics and like business perspective of like having gone through the past year and a half of like, you know, we've always, our main advertising was Facebook ads and still is, but that has become so much like less efficient. And so like economically and for the business, it's just been like a tough year of transitions and difficult conversations and like an evolution in many ways. Like for Sasha and I feel like are returning back to an earlier phase of the business that almost is reminiscent of like the dorm period where it's just like, we're taking on a lot more. I mean, the reason we're kind of like in this season of yes to like podcasts and video creation and things like that is also because it's like, we've been in this space and on our own journey, like in this space through this project for 5 years, but on our journeys even longer. Mm-hmm. And I think we're at least, or I'll speak for myself, I'm trusting in the process and where it's taking us of like, yeah, it's now or never, like our back's against the wall. There's no more waiting to show up and just like do a TikTok or to say yes to being interviewed on a podcast or like all these projects that we're taking on, like new things while taking on like core things of the business. It's been a very wild year. It's been managing a lot of relationships through the business and like through friends and family, and also just like I said earlier, some of those unexpected life things that gets dropped on our laps. And it's like, you know, the energy it's taking to once again show up for the people in our lives, but also knowing that that can't mean not showing up for ourselves.
Just trusting. I think we're trying to trust this process and this period of time that this is what's necessary for the next stage of growth. That's all you can really do sometimes in like the hard moments. You just have to trust that this is a part of the journey, part of the process.
It's the first time in a long time where I would say like I have no idea what 6 months from now looks like.
Yeah.
It's so different, and we'll like it's gonna be that next iteration. Whatever this phase is and the chapters that are in it, but it's gonna look very different than I think just these past 5 years, which has been in of itself such a whirlwind with growing the business, meeting each other, getting married, like
yeah.
COVID. Like, you know it.
Right. Yeah, I think you're hitting on something really big. I guess this might be a big statement, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it, that I feel like part of the self-care journey, and maybe this is a little Zen too, but it's learning to trust the unknown and really just be okay with that, and know, like, building trust within yourself that you know how to show up and take care of yourself, and you're going to be there for yourself. And then you've built that out into your community too, and in your relationships. So it's like, I know I'm going to get through it, but I don't know how. And that's really kind of scary, but also exciting. And it's just like such a weird sensation, the unknown itself.
I think that how, like, circles back to the community, like, care component, where it's like the how and the trust is only comes from, you know, having those people in your life that do feel like a fortress, that do feel like a safe space to just, like, show up vulnerably and evolve, and, like, trust that, you know, we're all doing our best. Like, it keeps going back to that for me, where it's like, I don't know what to tell folks. Like, now at 34, at least, I don't know. It's just like, life is tough, and, like, so are you. And
oh, I love that.
And we have to, like, it's like the social anxiety piece that Sasha was saying. It's like, we're all kind of like these scared pups that, like, it's like, oh, we all want to feel safe and abundant, and like, know that, like, our livelihoods are secure and all of these things. So I think it's all in community that we build those lived realities and those spaces for ourselves. Like, it takes a lot of work, and we're hoping and trusting and praying that, like, the work we're doing and have been doing is leading to a place that, yeah, it feels secure, feels like safe, and all of that. Abundant.
Definitely. Yeah.
I love that key, like a phrase you just said there, lived reality. It's so poignant to being able to believe what's possible for us. And of course, being able to imagine it. And that's the other reason why I love social media at this time, is because along with the connection, we're like, and of course it can trigger some imposter syndrome or comparisonitis, as I call it, but it also can expand you to see what else is possible for you and begin believing in different ways of being for yourself. But having that lived experience really is what changes the nervous system, because otherwise we're just living in dreamland, so to speak. And so I love that. Yeah. You just mentioned that, bridging that reality and trying, that's like what we're all about, I think, in both of our businesses, is just trying to bring that lived experience more to people in all of these various ways during what's alive in the world at this time.
Right.
I feel like, just to, like, even though right now is definitely a hard time, I feel like a setback for me that was disguised as self-care and disguised as improving myself was actually a setback that pushed me into where I'm at right now. Would be, before I met AJ, I, you know, have always been into the health and wellness journeys of, like, that's what led me to be in the Ithaca Zen Center. I wanted to improve myself and get healthier. And I think that's, like, the word that gets disguised as well, as, like, healthy equals skinny, fill in the blank, but, like, skinny, smaller. And so for me, I was leaving college, entering grad school. And for the first time in my life, I was lonely. Like, I was experiencing deep loneliness. I wasn't surrounded by the friends that I knew. I wasn't making new friends. I was just, like, alone with my thoughts. And so in the name of health, I was obsessed with food. I was, like, obsessed with every single thing I put into my body. And it led me to a rock bottom moment where it wasn't sustainable anymore. I couldn't no longer live like this, because I would have these, like, panic attacks where I couldn't stop crying after I ate something. Cause in my mind, I was, like, picturing myself getting fat, which is, like, there's so much fat phobia that's, like, underlining all of that. And so these panic attacks led me to realizing I need to seek therapy. And that was kind of the first time ever that I gave myself permission to go to therapy. And so that led me to my now self-care practice that I can't live without. I have a therapist now. Since that moment, I've had therapy. And so, which I feel really privileged to say, but that's really become a huge part of how I take care of my mind, is like having a space where I can process and figure out, you know, what's going on internally, because then I can show up in my life a lot better. So for me, the setback led me to realize, well, that's not really self-care of like trying to lose weight. That doesn't make you healthier. What's healthy is having a healthy mind and having a healthy relationship to everything around you. And so I think sometimes self-care can be disguised out there, and like health can be that disguise that you might see it under.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And that just gave me so many chills. I can resonate with that so deeply with my own disordered eating patterns. And that is, yeah, that's a really vulnerable share. So thank you.
Yeah.
And I just relate to it so deeply. I think that's a really great point to bring to the table, because it's true. Like, we really can wave like these flags in the name of something, and then just like culture, and let alone our own trauma and patterns and things like this, just sometimes disguise it as something else, which is why I'm always saying self-care is so deeply layered and multifaceted. And I felt really similar about that recently with a value of authenticity. And I know that we all have that very deep value, but somebody told me, or I think I learned, I've been obsessed with Gabor Mate's work lately. And he was saying that authenticity is being able to know how you feel and how to act from those feelings. And I was like, oh my God, like, what did I think authenticity was before? And it just like, yeah, basically just opened my eyes to realize all the ways that I thought I was being authentic in my life, but also maybe how I wasn't actually able to be. And it's just same, but completely different little antidote I wanted to share there. So thank you again, just for saying how we can disguise it. And what I also hear you perhaps speaking to, and let me know if it's different, but it's really like that self-acceptance and accepting what is, rather than trying to get to a certain destination or a place. It's like loving every part of you along the way.
Absolutely. Which actually reminds me of like an Instagram post that I saw years and years and years ago that really, I feel like it was kind of like how you had a revelation when you heard that definition of authenticity. Yeah. It was one of the things where it was like, what if you stop trying to love yourself and you just start with self-acceptance? And it was like, oh my God. Like, cause there's so much pressure. It's like, love yourself. It's like, well, what if I'm not there yet? Like, what's in between that?
Yeah. So
it's like, if you start with just accepting as I am in this exact moment is okay. And that, like, that's the first step, it feels like. And then you can like start building off of that point. But I think for me, that was a light bulb moment of seeing that you can start with self-acceptance, and you don't have to push yourself to like fall in love with yourself. Cause think about any relationship. You go on a first date. Are you going to love the person on the first date? You might not feel that way. Right. Most likely won't. You might just like learn about them and accept them as they are in that moment. So
yeah,
it's the same relationship with yourself.
I love that analogy. Especially thinking of like building healthy relationships, right? Like, I'm the type of person that falls in love quickly, sure. But then it's like, there's layers to that too. I think like knowing how to be in a healthy relationship, yeah, you're going to go into it and you're going to feel somebody out rather. And yeah, you might get excited and be like, wow, they're really cool. But then it's like along this journey, you're like, okay, well, like, what kind of questions do I need to ask? Where am I at? It's like learning to check in with that person. And of course, with yourself. And we're talking about that self-acceptance. I also call it a neutral state in some of my trauma-informed training. That's like the word that I was encouraged to be able to use, because it's just so like, okay, I'm not, there's like nowhere to go. There's no positive or negative connotation around it. It's just what's neutral, and can that be okay? So yeah, acceptance, neutrality. I love that.
Wow.
I love neutrality.
I've enjoyed listening to you guys say that. Like dropping bombs. But that, I mean, just to, I guess, reflect on what both of you are talking about and add to it, it's just like, I keep saying, like, these are practices. These take effort. These take, like, structuring our days in a certain way where it's like, what would it look like to actually schedule those 15 minutes in our day where it's mm-hmm. like, say loving things to myself in the mirror for 10 minutes, like whatever that modality or the practice is, like,
right.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes self-care, at least as someone who relies on my calendar, like I need to, like, or I've learned to and continue to kind of try to even get better with it of like, well, don't just schedule work stuff, like schedule that meditation, schedule when you're going to the gym, if that serves you, schedule when you're doing this thing. So it's like, because that's where it's like, we've experienced, certainly it's easier to show up when someone else is on the calendar and there's accountability there. It can get hard to show up when it's just like, oh, well, that was just going to be me doing that. Right. So I don't know what that is, where it's like, we don't give ourselves that same level of respect sometimes.
Yeah.
Or like, our mind is so great at like, playing devil's advocate or lying to us or like playing both sides where it's like, so well, it, you know, does it actually feel better to do this right now? Or is the thing that I really don't want to do actually the thing that, you know, is going to make me feel that much better in an hour from now or whatever?
Yeah. That makes me think of, like, just to go back to comparing relationships to the self.
Yes.
Like in any relationship, to show someone you love them, there's like an action tied to it. And like, if you think about the love languages, there's like words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, like all of those things require some kind of action. And if you think about self-love and like showing up for yourself, self-care, there has to be an action tied to it. Or that's just my perspective. This is not necessarily, might not resonate with someone else, but like there has to be an action tied to showing up for yourself. And so how do you show yourself love? It's through doing things for yourself. It's like doing your dishes. It's like, if you in a relationship do the dishes, your partner comes home and they're like, that was really nice. Someone did the dishes for me. It's like that sense of relief. It's like, how do you do that? But for yourself, it's this is important to have those things on your calendar, like AJ said.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that perspective. And it really is. I think it's so easy in our culture, I guess I'll say society, to just, yeah, like you're saying, AJ, to schedule things again and again and never schedule for yourself. And then in that way, it's like we are encouraged and also never slow down enough to face ourselves. And that's when it can start to feel scary. And when we do, we're like, oh my God, who am I? When I slow down, I just feel anxiety. Like it's just, it becomes such an uncomfortable space. And it can just start so tiny with little check-ins, you know, it doesn't have to be a big practice, but yeah, that tiny little bit over time makes such a big difference. And
I would say even, I mean, one practice, once again, these are aspirational. I'm like, I would love to be at a space where I'm doing these, but when we got to talk to Trudy Goodman, she had talked about like designating a space in your house, like a small space, a corner, whatever.
God.
And that being the space where you just like whatever you need to feel that day or like whatever feelings you haven't like allowed time or space to kind of like let come through you, like designate that. And I just, you know, I just think of the fact that like, once again, like past 5 years plus has been so wild where it's like, I'm still processing things from, you know, half a decade to a decade ago. So
absolutely.
It's like, you know, let alone when the stack continues to like pile up with everyday stuff. And once again, daily responsibilities and bit like, that's where I think it just, for me, it always goes back to like being of service. And how do we be of service? Well, we need to take care of ourselves. And that's where like that loop is continuously happening of like, am I taking care of myself so that I can like help lighten someone else's load? And like, we can all kind of just get by.
Yeah. I think that what that brings up for me too, is like the journey of becoming comfortable with your emotions too, because we all start somewhere, and some of us, sure, it's in our 20s. That's fabulous. I love that that generation is doing that now. But for others, it's, you know, 50s, 60s, even 70s. And And even just depending on our various experiences in life and childhood, it's like there is a store up of the unprocessed things. And there's gonna, at least in my personal experience, there's times and spaces that are needed to release all of the rage, to release all of this crying, and to get to, it's been a journey for me to give myself permission to not know where that's coming from or why, and to just be in it. And I think part of it is in that buildup, and we don't ever, that's like never hardly acknowledged.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know what I've been exploring lately?
What's that?
Exploring this like inability. I don't know. I feel like I'm like a deep person. Like I like to like have a deep love, or like I like depth, but like for me, I feel like I've been experiencing like struggling to like pull out emotions. I don't know, like I can't get myself to that space of like crying, or like I see these like videos of people, they're like their bodies are releasing so much. And I just want to say this in case anyone else experiences this in their healing journey of like, I don't know, I'm like, is there something wrong with me? Like I want to be in that state where I'm like releasing, you know, whether it's like rage or like these deep,
or it could be joy and like extreme that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I'm just like bringing that up as like some people maybe even struggle with getting to that stage.
I can resonate.
Yeah.
I mean, culturally, obviously, for us men out there, it's not necessarily taught from a young age, neither culturally for most of us, not in our households, where it's like, even my household, I think it was rare to see my dad cry. And then later on with time, as culturally everyone's evolved, I don't know, like now he, you know, it's much more common. And much like with Sasha, I just feel like, I don't know, I think it does involve creating spaces, whether it's like that, and that gets to be tough to say, like, I'm going to go do somewhere entirely differently for a week, which means I need to tidy up my everyday stuff and let everyone know I'm taking space. But I think, like, you know, that's those super deep emotions are tough to like do in 15 to 30 minute windows when you have a thing and things piling up. It's like, no, you probably just need to get to a space where it's like you know that there's time and there's
permission.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think we're speaking to so many different like layers and possibilities too. And yeah, I also want to reiterate that there is no right or wrong way about it. And I too can relate to not even feeling my emotions. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Enneagram, but yeah, I'm an Enneagram 7, the entertainer, and I'm the type of personality that just is always go, 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 and actually avoids their emotions and feeling pain and is always like for the joy and like life is so good. And it was really fascinating to get to a place in my like therapy, essentially, to recognize that I'm avoiding my own pain. And also like through that, then when I like got to a place where, I love that you're saying, Sasha, like, yeah, I want to access that space, and it's just like not coming for me, you know, like that's exactly how I felt. Like I could feel, and even still sometimes today, I can feel like maybe I'm upset about something, or maybe I need to cry, and it's like just not accessible. Like it's just not there. And I think, pardon?
It feels clogged.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great word. Yeah, clogged, a block. I call it like a leaky faucet, like a faucet that just doesn't work right. Yeah. So there's so many different ways to go about that emotional journey.
Yeah.
Is there anything that like you would, you know, whether it's recommend to a friend or to a client of like, who might want to access those emotions, but doesn't have access to like going somewhere for a week, like a meditation retreat, or like, is there anything that you would recommend to someone who wants to experience those feelings? Or maybe they don't have to, I don't know. I don't want to assume that that's the right, again, that's not necessarily the right way versus the wrong way, but how do you fix that leaky faucet if you're someone who's busy?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, that's like the learning how to create some slow down space in your life so you're not so busy so that you can actually face yourself. And at least in my work with my clients, that tends to be the number one thing, is that people are either just so busy that they can't face themselves, even if they're open to it. But then there's another part of people, or another demographic of people, that just also don't want to face themselves, and they don't like that space, and it's very uncomfortable. And at least in my work, and I know that I'm not like for everyone, but that is what the journey I take people on, is learning how to get comfortable being with yourself and knowing yourself, because exactly what we talked about. But like, I just so strongly believe that knowing yourself is that bridge out to community and being able to relate with others. So I think I would recommend being able to find a place in your day where you can just be with yourself for a few moments. And whether that's like 10 minutes in the evening, 5 minutes in the morning, or you have to take like can you take one extra minute when you go to the bathroom at work to like take a breath, and just like start there in the tiniest little ways, so it doesn't feel big and like, right, kind of scary, you know? I mean, taking a breath in the bathroom is weird for some people. It does shift really quick when you're realizing like, this is for my mental health, and I feel the difference in my nervous system.
And I think another part for us, like self-care wise, because I guess, I mean, for us, we live and work together, so we're together so much, and like, we're both like empathetic, like I'm empathetic, where it's like I do need like complete separation of space. Like I need to take a whole different space to myself in order, as an introvert, to like really fully recharge, or just to like embrace the solo identity for an hour or two. So like showers are one of my favorite self-care. Nice steamy shower
twice a day this
much. I mean, it's a free, you know, it's a luxury. Like people are sleeping. At least for me, I love it.
Yeah.
It's also a space where it's like we have these aqua notes. Like you can create a whole like affirmation station like in your shower, spruce it up with some eucalyptus and other things. Like I'm not even scratching the surface yet, but I think car rides are, at times, like just getting to like just listen to some fun music loudly, or you know, earbuds and headphones serve as that at times, of just like I don't know, just very sense, like whenever I can give my senses a treat, that's always fun.
Yeah, I like your idea of like headphones being like a form of separation, because I think for anyone who maybe lives in a space where like they have roommates that they, I don't know, want space from, but like it's a really tight environment. Like if someone has headphones on, like they're in their own world. They're listening to something you can't hear and you don't have access to. And so there's that like separation in that way.
And we're always rocking frequency sounds or lo-fi, like mostly stuff without lyrics. Just like, you know, you can definitely, like Sasha saying, like take space even in your own bedroom, like, and kind of make it feel like not just the boring old space that you visit every day, but for you know, half hour to an hour, light some candles, some incense, like whatever it is that makes it feel like an intentional space. And I mean, I would credit you as someone that I've seen like firsthand in your life, kind of like you'll be in a tent and you'll make it like this such a warm, incredible space where it's like, oh, I want to spend time there, and you're like doing your tarot cards and stuff. Like it's just so beautiful. And I think it speaks to, you know, like Sasha's, like we can't always do a week away somewhere, but like, you know, let's do what we can. And maybe it's still not enough. Like, you know, maybe we have more in us that needs to get felt or would love more time. And that's where it just comes back to balancing, like, okay, well, we still have to make an income and like show up things and responsibilities that hopefully also do energize us and serve us in an ideal world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I hear you also talking about building in those spaces is like the joy and the feel good and the fun. Cause I know also slowing down and being by yourself can, like I'm saying, there can be a lot of resistance there. And we're talking about feeling emotions, which, you know, isn't that like particularly the discomfort and the uncomfortable emotions is what I was thinking of and leaning into there. But yeah, bringing it back to like what enlightens your senses, enlivens, enlightens, and fills you up.
It makes me think of like the like children, the inner child, like that common visual of like a kid's crying and you take them to get ice cream and, you know, they're smiling 20 minutes later. It's like you said, you know, the space that we know can get filled with such vivid feelings, and that's tough. It's like to have that come through you. Like, can we, you know, bring ourselves that little treat that will kind of honor our inner child for doing a difficult thing and feeling a feeling and yeah, showing up for ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's another aspect that's so important of like that self-care journey or lifestyle is learning how to check in with yourself and ask, what do I need? And having it be genuinely nourishing for your nervous system in some way, rather than like that fuck it phase, like, fuck it, I'm just going to go do this. And there's a time and a space for everything. But yeah, I believe that the journey we're speaking of really allows us to support ourselves in a way that allows us to show up in our lives differently.
Yeah, I think that speaks to like a self-awareness that gets built up over time and like
yeah.
Really know what works for you. Like, I don't know if he had showers on his self-care list 5 years ago, but now that's kind of his space, or like, you know what I mean? So learning what your thing is and figuring out what helps regulate your nervous system. Everyone's self-care thing is so different. Everyone's got a unique thing that helps them. So oftentimes we're like, well, what works for you? Like, how did you do this? And so it's like, how do we stop looking at what other people are doing and go inward and be like, what works for me? What worked for me before? And really relying on your own wisdom and nuggets that you've got.
Yeah.
No, all this talk of like nervous system, like, you know, ties to the breath. And like,
right.
If we're not self-aware or checking in with ourselves intentionally, you know, as someone with anxiety, I can go, you know, a couple hours of my day and I'm like, I've had shortened breathing in my chest for a while that, you know, if I let my mind keep racing, I'm not ever going to like kind of be able to catch myself, slow down and be like something as simple as a minute of like conscious breathing could be all you really need to be like, oh, I wasn't really, you know, like, our mind will run with like whatever it wants. And it's just like, no, you just like had to stop and like breathe, like you're safe, like you're okay, like it's fine. Like,
right. Yes. I love that reminder. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying breathing, y'all. And then I said, everyone take a breath.
I took a deep breath when you were saying that. I'm like, oh, yes.
Oh. One of the things that you had mentioned, Court, that I'm curious on, not to steal the interviewing job, but it's one of your questions. It's like, is there a mantra that kind of that you use? And obviously we're happy to share ours if what we have that like catches yourself to be like, okay, that's the thing. That's the reframe word or the reframe
thought. Yeah. I love that you're asking me this question. I'm trying to think about that. I think a question that has come up for me recently is asking myself, what do you need? What do you need right now? Because I tend to project, and I'm always, when I find myself asking other people, like, how are you? What do you need? And like, just checking in on like friends and family, it's often a sign for me, like, hold on. Like, I think you might need to be checked in with too. And like, just kind of turning that around for myself. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. There's another phrase that I came up with a friend probably even over a year ago. And sometimes during really tough things and like just the monotony of becoming a stable adult, I tell myself, I get to do this. I get to do this. And it reminds me that like, yeah, I want to do this. And always the reminder to, I guess this is something that I tell myself. I'm like, you don't have to do it. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And that really just takes the pressure off and allows me to take a step back And then I'm like, okay, but I do want to like take care of myself, and I do, you know, but then there's always, of course, time and places where sometimes I do decide I don't want to. And I love giving myself permission to really make a genuine decision about that for myself. I guess those are all like just little check-in points for me as far as like mantras or affirmations. Those types of things just vary and change in the seasons of life, you know?
Definitely.
I love those.
Yeah, for sure.
And how about you?
I mean, the one that comes to mind for me that I feel like is a rallying cry whenever we're like, you know, I've said it, like when we're up at 3 a.m. working or just like in the middle of a long day, it's like, we're getting there. Mm-hmm. It's just like reminding myself and, you know, whatever team like I'm with, like we're getting there. Like may not always feel like all the work we're putting in and on that micro is adding up to something. But as we know from experience, like, you know, give it a year, give it 5 years, give it 10 years. Like, we are building towards something greater. And like, I think it goes back to like that trust we're talking about. Like, we're getting there. We're doing our best. Like, we're making intentional decisions. Like, it can only bring about like what's meant to come for us.
I love that.
For me, it would be something that's connected to a train of thought I've noticed myself having. And later on in life, I learned that it was an ADHD train of thought, which is when there's a mundane task like doing the dishes or folding laundry or answering an email, my brain immediately goes, I don't feel like doing that. That sounds hard. And so for me, the reframe is like, well, you can do hard things. Like, yes, you're allowed to say that that's hard, even though that might not be hard for someone with a normal brain type. I can do hard things and I can do this. And so for me, that one has been a really important one that has just been on my journey with me since I read it in Glennon Doyle's book. Hers is, we can do hard things. But then I was like, you know what? I can do hard things. You can do hard things. So that's kind of been my mantra, I think.
I love that. Okay, I have a final question, and this is kind of just a fun and silly one, but I'm curious if you've ever tried something within the self-care realm that, you know, everyone was raving about. There's, and this can even like tie into like wellness fads or whatever comes up, you know, but then you gave it a try and you were just like, that is not for me. Like, I don't know what everyone else is talking about. Yes. Have you ever had anything like that? Yeah.
I think this is what got me to that rock bottom moment that I was describing earlier.
Yeah.
Keto. I was on keto for 6 months and I was like, in the beginning felt great. But then every time I would eat anything that had a carb in it, that was what gave me those panic attacks, because I was like, oh my God, my body's, it's over. Like, and like, that was the thing. Like, but keto was such a fad. Like, it was like everyone was doing it, or at least it felt that way. Whatever, if you're into that, that's fine, but it's not a lifestyle. Like, that's not a way of living. You can do it for a little bit, but it really, really impacted my mental health in a super negative way.
Thank you for saying that. That's such a popular trend. Like, I still see keto it's around everywhere still. I'm like, people are still doing this. I'm just so engaged from diet culture at this point. I'm just like, oh, okay. But yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you.
For sure. And by the way, I've noticed now that I'm at this stage of my journey, anything that says keto on it usually tastes worse.
Yes. Oh, interesting. I'm like, that's how I feel about gluten-free bread. It's gotten way better. It's come so far. But usually I'm like, a gluten-free bread product. Ugh. I tend to be gluten-free, so that's why I say that. But yeah.
I didn't have a good answer come to mind. The thing that came to mind was TikTok trends when you said trends. Okay. So I was thinking like how we've done like fruit, it's not fruit roll up. Is it? No, fruit roll up. with like ice cream inside and like these different what? Like weird, yeah, different weird like TikTok food things that like pretty much teenagers are coming up with, I guess. But like those totally are awesome and do serve. So
no,
doesn't
hold
actually answer your question. I just wanted to talk about them.
Well, now I need to know what the fuck that is.
Is it ice cream?
Yeah, you take a fruit roll up, unroll it, and yeah, then you put ice cream in it, and you like roll it up like a burrito, let's say.
Okay.
And then the fruit roll up gets hard immediately, instantly, because of the ice cream.
Yeah.
And it's got like a crunch chew to it.
And it doesn't melt everywhere.
No.
No, that was a pretty good one. There was also one with like some weird Amazon candy that like you buy. God. It's like juice. Well, it's like fruit shape plastic balls of
it was the worst juice, waste of plastic. I'm not
of like sugar of water
this. I'm not proud of this,
but it was like a trend and it was really fun because it makes the popping sensation, like so you're biting into this like plastic candy wrapper, but it like produces this great pop of like sugary juice.
Oh my gosh, wow I'm like, not my phone's right here. I'm sure that TikTok will be picking up on those trends for me now, but they're just not in my realm. I'm like, I haven't heard of these things. I love it though.
Our algorithm is interesting, isn't it?
We'll send them your way when we see them.
Yeah.
She fine. She's on TikTok way more now.
I'm not right.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Fine.
Oh gosh, this is fun.
Yeah, yeah, great questions. Like, you're an awesome interviewer.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Oh, yeah. It's been a pleasure having you guys. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, well, we love you, Court. Best of luck with the podcast and with the business and just with life in general. And I'm excited for our next call. Off audio or whatnot.
He's like, best of luck with your life.
Right. Like, we'll never see each other again.
I want to document it.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Well, right. Yes, I'm going to quit the recording, but thank you again.
Thanks, Court.
Wait a minute. It's the outro. I just want to take a quick moment to say thank you so much for being a part of this self-care creature movement. This is a movement for individuals, our communities, the planet. If you're looking to dive deeper into our community, the best place to start is with our free mini courses, or you can consider joining our SCC membership where you get access to all courses, all benefits, free for 5 days, and then it's a simple quarterly membership. We also have many more online and in-person offerings. You can join our email list to stay up to date, or just check out, you guessed it, the Self-Care Creature website, selfcarecreature.com. You can also be a part of the conversation and help form what this podcast is all about. Simply just go to the feedback form in the notes below where you can ask questions and share your thoughts. Lastly, we're going to ask, would you please leave a review on whatever platform you're on right now? We would really love the help to find more creatures in the world just trying to learn to take care of themselves. Thanks for being here, and thanks for taking care of you.